Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Welcome back. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to Teachable Moments. I am your host, Amber Waters Porter, and tonight we're going to skip on past my Mama Says segment because we have Apostle Isaac Paul Agadosa here tonight, and he wants to be able to finish what he has begun a few weeks ago, so we're going to need that little extra 5 minutes to get all that he needs to teach us in. And so let's just get to it. Welcome, Apostle. How are you?
I'm good. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Sister Amber. How are you today?
I'm well. Good How evening. Are you today?
Good.
Good. All right. So this is our last session, so we got to get this. This is the dynamics of prophetic warfare done and over with. I'm talking about the ephod and just recapping the ways to communicate with God and all of that good stuff that you've shared with us over the past few weeks. So where do you want to get started? Where do you want to start? Let's go.
I'm going to start from the beginning, but this time it's going to be a summary and a recap. And probably one or two things that I didn't focus on very well the last time. I would like to focus on them within the time that we have, so that you can also ask questions or have your input.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
So we actually started with the dynamics of prophetic warfare. That's the total package.
Right.
And we did the first part, which I call the phase one, the fasting and praying as one of the games of prophetic warfare.
Yeah.
And we did that, and we moved to the second phase, which is the garment of prophetic warfare and the use of ephod. And we looked into the scripture. Actually, for Samuel 30:1-8, where you remember last week I was doing a lot of paraphrasing. I could be doing that again, but I will call the scripture so that our listeners can go into that scripture and check for themselves.
Okay.
We got to know the battle at Ziklag, that having come back and having been distressed, David encouraged himself in the Lord, but that wasn't all. He had to call the priest at that time, say, come, bring me the ephod. Bring the ephod. All right? Bring the ephod.
Bring the ephod.
And see, yes, and talk to God. Let me know, should I pursue these people or should I not? I would like to quickly take us right there, take us to back to what Paul told Timothy before we go back talking about ephod. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, he said, this child I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mayest do what? That thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, with some having put away concerning faith, have made them shipwreck. Now, what the focus there is, Timothy, according to the prophecies that have gone ahead, which we did by laying our hands on you, fight a good warfare. Another scripture says, fight a good fight of faith.
Okay.
So
fight
we
a good
fight.
Warfare.
Yes, a good warfare, yes.
Okay.
We fight Yeah, good warfare. 1 Timothy 1:18-19. So taking you back to prophetic warfare, we fight. It's our culture as children of God. We don't run away. Every tribe, every language, every nation have a culture. What is your culture as a chosen generation, as a peculiar people, as a holy nation? That we have a nation. Our nation is the kingdom. It's heavenly. We have a culture. Our culture is warfare. It's fighting. It's war. We fight from a victory angle. Amen? So we don't run away. That's why the scripture also says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Again, the scripture says in Ephesians we should put on the whole armor. So if you're not going to fight, you don't put on armor. So having said that, we go back to the use of ephod. And because David needed to know the mind of God in the situation of things to really know what God is saying. I don't just have to face my adversary just like that without knowing what God is saying concerning my adversary. Everybody have an adversary. Amen. 1 Peter 5, everybody has adversary. And the devil is looking for who to flaw. So you don't just charge at your enemy. You want to follow God. Amen. Now, I go back again to some specific things I said last week. I said, from now on, children of God, we should stop shooting aimless arrows and missing our target. I said there is need to seek and know the mind of God in any confronting challenges of life. Okay, one, God is always ready to reveal to us the weapons and the tricks of the enemy and the strategy to crush them. I defined this. I said the prophetic warfare is a two-way communication with God. You remember?
Yes, I have it. The importance of the ephod is identify identity of the priest and seek the mind of God so as to not miss the target. And God will give you the strategy of the enemy to crush them.
Good. So now, prophetic warfare is a two-way communication. It's not one way. When you talk to God, God talks back to you. That is why David called for the ephod. Now, Jeremiah 33, I used that scripture last week. It said, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know.
Okay.
Yes, call unto me. So why don't you talk, remind God, why don't you talk to him again? I say, Father, you asked me to call unto you that you will show me great and mighty things. I want you to show me great and mighty things concerning this situation that I found myself in, concerning this problem, this issue, this challenge, this fight that I'm in. But instead, Christians, we turn to calling man. We want to call our friend. We want to call our parents. We want to call our pastor. Yes, it's good to call your pastor, but first of all, have you called on God? Who are you calling? Who are you calling? The battle that is facing you needs you to call on God and not man. If you call on man, the first thing that man will remember is your past. The second thing is going to remember your mistakes. The third thing man is going to remember is your weakness. But God will show you great and mighty things that you do not know in every situation. Now, prophetic warfare is the act of fulfilling our what? Royal priesthood office. Prophetic warfare is the act of fulfilling our royal priesthood office.
The act of fulfilling
our royal priesthood office.
Office. And this is the definition for prophetic warfare?
It could be one of the definitions of prophetic warfare. It's the act of fulfilling our royal priesthood office. That is why the issue of garment have to come in. You need a garment as a priest now, okay? Now, in the Old Testament, your garment is visible. It can be seen. That is the ephod. I'm going to read Leviticus 8:8. When God was giving instruction on what to put on the priest, which is also in Exodus 28. Leviticus 8:8 says, and put the breastplate, from verse 6. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water, and he put upon him the coat and guided him with the girdle and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod upon him. And he gathered him with the curious girdle of the ephod and bound him with it therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him. Also, he put in the breastplate Urim and Thummim, and he put on the mitre on his head, as the turban, and so on and so forth. That was in Leviticus. That was the instruction given. It's also found in Exodus. Now, hold on. Before you come in, while the use of ephod, because as a priest, what differentiates you is your garment. It's what you put on. And the instruction given to Moses to design the robe of the priest, the Aaron and his and the Levi, especially Aaron this time, with the way he's going to put his garment on is what I just read. And he said he put on the ephod upon the robe, and inside that ephod is the breastplate of judgment, I read Exodus 28 and 20, Exodus 30 and 29 right now. Okay? So, Exodus 28. Okay, so Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel, Jacob, in the breastplate of judgment. Sorry, I've amplified. Let me go back to authorized in James. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof. Okay, 29. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth unto the holy place. So, in that place, verse 30 says, and thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart. Okay, so those are the key words in translating, in my discourse today, which I did last week, in translating this issue of ephod. Ephod is a garment that has a breastplate of judgment, and inside of it are these two precious stones, Urim and Thummim. Why are they there? That's the question. All right. Now,
you're asking me from last week.
Yeah. Good. No, just let me go ahead. Okay.
Okay. Then you're Thummim. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, good. Now, before I did tell you what they are for, prophetic warfare is the display. You're asking me for definition of prophetic warfare? Is the display of divine strategy to defeat the whole company of the enemy's army. That's another definition. I told you earlier, is the act of fulfilling our royal priesthood office.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also the display of divine strategy to defeat the whole company of the whole company of the enemy's army. Why? To actually establish the kingdom of God on earth through dominion. Okay. Now, revelation is the key word. Why do I need the ephod? I need the ephod because I need revelation. Revelation is insight into the mind of God. I need God to speak to me. So Urim and Thummim, what do? They help me to know the mind of God with divine accuracy. You remember that?
Yes.
With divine accuracy.
Divine accuracy,
exactly.
Yes.
And the Bible says it should be by the heart of Aaron, by the heart. The Bible specifically said where this Urim and Thummim should be, by the heart. It has to be by the heart because it's an object of divine affection. It has to be by the heart because God demands the love. Let it be in your heart all the time. Let it be there so that you think of me. Your heart pants after me, all right? That is why it's there. So it is knowing the mind of God with divine accuracy, and it is a symbol of divine affection. You remember that? Affection. So, without a tangible revelation from God, warfare will be a failure.
Without divine revelation of God, warfare would be a failure. Okay.
Exactly. Now, in the Old Testament, God speaks through dreams, God speaks through prophecy, and God speaks through the Urim.
The
Old Covenant.
And the Urim.
Exactly. In the Old Covenant. Yes. Now, how does that translate into the New Covenant? Because some people say, he's talking about the Old Covenant. Yes, God did not ask you to throw the Old Testament away. Christ came to fulfill them. Everything in the Old Testament is a figure of that which is to come. And if you are talking about ephod in the Old Testament, there must be an ephod in the New Testament. This time it is not visible, but it is feelable. You can feel it. That is why I ended last week by saying it is no more the breastplate of judgment, but the breastplate of faith and love. Now, how in 5 minutes? Ephod carries the breastplate of judgment, right? Now, it carries Urim and Thummim. Now, the same scripture now says that this breastplate of judgment have become the breastplate of righteousness, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Remember last week, maybe you want to tell me now, Sister Ember, you want to tell me, what did I say Urim signifies and how is it expressed? Do you remember? And Thummim.
I believe you said the Urim is a symbol of divine affection, this insatiable love and yearning for God. And the Thummim is knowing the mind of God and the heart of God with divine accuracy. And
okay.
You said the Urim is a light.
That's what I want to hear.
Expression of faith and insight and understanding.
Yes.
And Thummim is perfection, expression of love.
Great.
So
Good. That is exactly what I needed to hear. In Colossians 3:14, it's also explained that the Urim is signified by light. The meaning of Urim is light. And I said the light is expressed by faith. How does faith express light? Light is revelation. Light is insight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And insight or revelation is what of the word of God is what gives you faith.
Right.
And Thummim signifies perfection. Perfection. And perfection is expressed through love. That's the only perfect thing. All right, so you see the Urim and the Thummim, which is light and perfection, has become faith and love. What does the scripture say? The breastplate of judgment is the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. So children of God, you are facing a situation, no matter how big or how little that challenge is, as long as you are praying about it, you do not pray, you do not go begging about it, you know that this issue, I need to go in warfare, remember that you have a breastplate on, which is breastplate of righteousness. And this breastplate of righteousness, there's only one breastplate. The one that was called judgment have become righteousness because Christ has become our righteousness. We are also his righteousness, all right? So that is what God wants to see. It is no more carrying stone on your heart. It is no more wearing a garment that people see, but now the state of your heart. And 1 Thessalonians 5:8, what did it say? Let me quickly see what that says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. Mamu koso tolibada. It says from verse 7, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. He said, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet and a hope of salvation. Okay? So, Put on the breastplate of faith and love. There's no more the breastplate of judgment.
It's now
faith and love. So, you have a situation in your life. Maybe a particular issue that someone of the listeners you've challenged you. The doctor says, this matter, I don't think we have any solution. We're just going to be managing it for now. I said, okay, but the word of God tells me this is the truth, and I go back into warfare. Or that this is an attack from the enemy. You go back to fight. And now the scripture says, not that you continue to point accusing fingers, not that you go back into pointing fingers, not that you go back into gossiping, or you go back into accusing God, that God wants to see your heart. Is there faith in there? Is there love for God? I remember you asked me, is it loving my enemy? I know some people will be saying, okay, you're saying love. You mean I should love my enemy while my enemy is killing me? You already love your enemy. That's what I'm saying. We don't go to the battlefield with a manual. Nobody goes to the battlefield to start studying or reading on the battle day. On the day of battle, you don't go to study. You've already fulfilled that area of your life by loving everyone. Okay, so the love of God is there, and that is what God wants to see. Rounding up again, the breastplate of judgment is visible. The breastplate of righteous through righteousness. Amen?
Okay.
Can we look at one thing you want me to emphasize before within the time? No, you can just tell me any, ask me any question you want me to emphasize on this.
Well, to correct you, I didn't ask you if I needed to love my enemy. I said I love my enemy because I have to love my enemy, but I'm sick of her. I'm tired of fighting her. I'm tired of fighting me, rather, coming at me. So the question was, what do I need to do? I know I need to keep my heart and my mind right so that I can pray to God that he'll handle my enemy, because that's just what she is, and I want her handled. Leave me alone. So that's what I didn't have a problem loving her. I love her because I have to. I don't like her, but I love her. But
so, in this case,
what do I need to do?
In the case of the Urim and Thummim, is looking at the faith that you have in the Word of God. There is no challenge that is facing you or attack that is facing you that will go if there is no faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. That's one. Then secondly, you cannot go to God to fight a battle for you when you don't love him, when you don't serve him, when you don't listen to him, when you don't do his will, when you are rebellious to his word. No, it is not possible. The word cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. So that love there is the love for God. And God wants to see the priest that put on the Urim and the Thummim by your heart. Let your heart pant after me all the time. Let the sacrifice that you give to me daily is your love. Then you can call unto me and ask me to handle this. God will quickly go ahead and dispatch angels on your behalf, because there is faith available. There is love available. You are not coming from nowhere and say, God, fight this battle for me. That doesn't mean nobody should get me wrong. Do you mean that anybody cannot pray to God to answer? God is saying that I have my children. This food is for children. It's not for dogs. My children are calling me. I want to listen to my children first. You are coming from nowhere. I can't find love in your heart. You don't love me. So how do you want me to fight this battle for you? But at times, because he's God, he does some things just to allow that person to see if that person will come to him.
Okay.
And so many people have taken that for granted. They have challenges. It's true, they've not fulfilled that aspect of the scripture. God just opened the tip of the iceberg. And they just slam him on the face, and they go away from him, and they go into a bigger problem.
Yeah, so basically, you said that God looks at your heart, and the question is the question is, can God find love and faith in your heart? And if he can find love and faith in your heart, then that gives you immediate access to the gate against your adversary. Against your adversary, and then in the mind of God. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I got that covered. So I was trying to keep my heart, my mind right, because you know, dealing with enemies is just not an easy thing. But
We continue to now. You see, remember, I stressed something maybe the first time, I dwelt on this area. Exodus 23. I always use that most times when I speak, because it seems to be one of the easiest things that people can relate to. He says from Exodus 23, probably from verse 23 down.
I can hardly understand what you're saying.
Oh. Understand or hear or listen.
Okay.
Let me take it slowly within the time. I said, I want to use a scripture in Exodus to buttress something about facing challenges of life and what is God saying. And I said, I normally use this scripture because it's easy for people to relate to.
Okay.
Where it says, paraphrasing, that and you shall serve the Lord your God. All right?
Use the authority
and
of God.
And you shall serve the Lord your God.
You should serve the Lord your God.
And he shall bless your water and your bread.
Right.
Huh. You remember that area? And God started saying many things. Now, why I use that scripture is because that is the easiest way many people can relate with what you are saying. He's telling you that you shall serve me. And when you serve me, I will bless your water and your bread.
Right.
I will take sicknesses away. The angels will go before you. And you will not be barren.
Okay.
And so many things. With so many good things will happen now. That in verse 25. Now, the reason I use that is serving God is an expression of your faith and love.
Right?
It's an expression of your faith and love. You do not serve a God you do not believe in. So, when you serve a God that you believe in and that you love, you are serving me because you love me. Now, he's saying, verse 25, and you shall serve the Lord your God. And he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thy enemies turn their backs unto thee. You understand?
Yeah.
So, I normally use this scripture because it's very easy to relate to. Serve me. When you serve me, I will bless the work of your hand. That is the condition. And you cannot serve God if your faith and love is not in place.
Right.
Which means that, well, you are serving me already because you know my word. Then these challenges of life, I will take care of them.
Right. And what scripture is that again?
Exodus chapter 23, you can actually start from verse 23 down to the end, 33. So
that's
when it says that, the condition is said, serve the Lord your God. When you serve me, so I'm using that word, serving the Lord, that you cannot have, you're serving God, shows that there is faith and love, because you cannot serve a God you don't believe in. You cannot serve God if you do not love him.
Right.
So when you do that, it means your effort is in place. It means your garment of prophetic warfare is in place. So I'm rounding up this evening that serving God is a proof of your garment of prophetic warfare. As a priest, all of us are called priests and kings in his house. Amen?
Serving God is proof of your wearing the ephod.
Exactly. And when you read that scripture I just given, you read it down, you can relate it to your prayer point. I will bless your water and your bread. I will take sicknesses away from you. Nothing shall cast their young. They shall not be barren. I will send fear before thee. Your enemies will be destroyed before you. I will chase them away. So, thank you this evening.
Oh, thank you so much. We've had you on for a month now, and you've just broken this down. I've had to take notes, and I've tried to translate as much as I possibly could. And you're just very informed about this, and I appreciate you, and we'll have you back on in the future. And next week,
Amen.
We're going to have Pastor C on with our questions that should have happened this evening, but we wanted to finish up with Apostle Favor Agadosa. So thank you all for listening. Find your moment and enjoy your rest of the week. Thank you, Apostle. Apostle, have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.